Wright Thompson Jr. is a senior writer for ESPN. His dad, Wright Thompson Sr., was a lawyer who enjoyed watching golf on TV. One event the pair watched together would later help Wright Jr. understand his dad. Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story.
Wright Thompson Sr. told his son stories about his own childhood on a farm in Bentonia, Mississippi.
He described a really rural life that, to me, growing up in the 80s, sounded not just from another decade, but from another century. He had three brothers, and they all had their own horse that they would ride to town.
Wright Jr.'s grandfather, a man known as Big Frazier, was tough on his kids. Wright Sr. was a good student and a star quarterback in high school, but his father only saw his shortcomings.
My father knew the dad that he had and knew the things he loved dearly about him. He also knew his flaws, and I think that when he created himself as a father, the kind of father he was going to be, it was based on both of those.
Wright Thompson Sr. showed his son what kind of father he was on a family trip to Destin, Florida.
And we were walking up and down the beach and all around all day. And I had a stuffed animal, Sweetie. He was a rabbit. And, you know, he was also sort of the color of sand, which becomes a problem because we get back to the condo and Sweetie's missing. And so my dad went and combed the sand.
Dad searched for hours looking for Sweetie.
Sweetie had a rough battle that night with the sand, but was discovered, and he came home with the stuffed animal.
When Wright got a little older, his dad would spring him from school so they could go fishing. They watched every James Bond movie. He lost count of how many times they watched The Guns of Navarone.
And I just always knew that he was going to be a rocker.
On April 13th, 1986, when Wright Jr. was just nine, his dad called him into the room where he was watching the fourth and final round of the Masters.
It was just like, you need to watch this. You'll never forget this. This is unbelievable.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
Jack Nicklaus shot a 30 on the back nine to win by one stroke. Wright remembers that his father cried watching the 46-year-old Nicklaus become the oldest Masters winner. It was his sixth and final win at Augusta.
And I remember how emotional he was and not really understanding why.
It would be more than a decade before Wright Jr. would begin to understand the seed his dad had planted. After that day, Wright and his dad watched the Masters together every year. They bonded over the tournament, even if it was never as dramatic as it was in 1986. And Wright Sr. began to talk about how nice it would be to visit Augusta National Golf Course and see the azaleas and the clubhouse and Amen Corner in person. In 1996, Wright went off to college three states away, and in April of his freshman year, he watched a 21-year-old Tiger Woods win the Masters.
There it is, a win for the ages.
He called his dad, who said,
"Dude, are you watching this?" "Yes." And I remember that very clearly.
Thompson says picturing his dad in the same room where they had watched the last 11 Masters made it feel like home wasn't quite so far away. Wright Thompson started covering the Masters in 2003 as a writer for the Kansas City Star.
You get to see the stuff that was always sort of elusively just out of frame.
His dad wanted to know about everything.
I suddenly had information for him that he didn't have. I knew stuff he didn't know.
Stuff like, what's on the tables at Augusta National's clubhouse restaurant?
I don't know if you know what Durkee's is. It's a sandwich condiment. My grandmother and mother would not eat a sandwich ever without Durkee's on it. It is a very, very Southern thing. So anyway, when I called my dad and was like, there's Durkee's on the table, it just, you know, his head, he exploded.
Wright and his dad talked about visiting the course together, maybe even during the Masters.
That was always the plan.
But later that year, they got some bad news.
He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He described getting that news and was like, I know what the odds are on this particular one, and this is not good.
So Wright and his dad decided to make some trips. They went fishing in Arkansas. They talked some more about going to Augusta. But then his dad started treatment. Wright Sr. went out of his way to cheer up the other patients. especially the ones who had to endure the treatments without family or friends present.
The guy was a walking party. You know, I mean, like, if you had to describe him with one noun, I think it would be ringleader.
Everyone in the ward knew him by name.
I mean, he was a warrior. No effing pity. No martyrdom. No woe is me. No complaining. No giving up.
Wright Thompson Sr. fought hard for several months.
And then he beat it, which is just no one beats it.
Wright Jr. got the good news in April 2004 while he was at Augusta covering the Masters.
And so I was like, let's go somewhere.
The obvious choice would have been to meet in Augusta at the golf course Wright Sr. wanted so badly to visit. But the remission made them feel like they had all the time in the world.
Doesn't everything lull us into thinking we have all the time in the world? So we decided to go down to Destin, Florida, the same place where he'd rescued Sweetie. And that was just a really magical trip. You know, I brought him a windbreaker from the Augusta Pro Shop, and we talked very specifically about going to the Masters.
Just 3 months later, Wright got a call from his mother.
It came back fast, man.
Wright's dad was too sick for him to travel that summer. On September 29th, 2004, Wright Thompson Sr. died. He was just 58 years old.
After my dad died, my mom started finding flashlights all over the house. And she realized that he had gone to Walmart one day and just bought every size flashlight they had and hidden them all over the house because he knew he was dying and didn't want her to ever be scared of the dark.
Wright was racked with guilt that he never brought his dad to see the azaleas, the rolling hills, and the loblolly pines of Augusta National Golf Course.
I got worse before I got better, you know? I struggled for a long time.
But in addition to the flashlights for his mom, Wright Sr. left something for his son to discover. The following April, Wright Jr. returned to Augusta to cover the Masters.
I took a pair of his shoes and walked the course in them, which is weird in hindsight and sort of oddly pathetic now that I say it out loud.
Wright says at first those return trips to Augusta made his regret even stronger. But then he realized that wasn't fair to his father.
The more I go back, you realize that focusing on the end of the experience is not only stupid and counterproductive and leads you nowhere, it ultimately is the greatest insult to the best parts of that person who you wish was still here.
Wright says with every return visit, his guilt subsided.
My trips to Augusta feel like an extension of the best of my father, not some weird extended funeral to celebrate the worst.
He began to understand why the 1986 Masters was so important to his dad.
Together, watching the triumph of Jack over time and all of these big existential forces, we had a moment that was so loaded with meaning that he didn't even have to explain it. And I think it was designed to just plant this stuff so I could unpack it in my own time.
Wright got married in 2006. He and his wife began thinking about starting a family. So after the end of the following Masters tournament, he stopped into the Augusta National Golf Shop.
I purchased a onesie. It's an Augusta National onesie. And it was my own down payment on the idea that I would learn from him both in how to be a father and also in how not to wait too long.
A decade after buying that onesie, Wright became a dad. A trip with his daughter to Augusta this year is out of the question because
we'd get thrown out because she likes to make noise and run around, and the patrons are not allowed to run.
Wright says he'll take his daughter to Augusta when she's a little older. But in the meantime,
we're building a little place in Montana where we can fish all the time. And one of the big motivations for me in doing that is this isn't going to be something that I'm going to do later. You can't ever count on later. This is something we're going to do now.
One day, years from now, Wright's daughter will cast a fly to a wild Montana trout or sink a long putt at Amen Corner. And she'll think about her dad and her granddad and how they planted seeds that she came to appreciate much, much later.
That's Only a Game's Gary Wallach. Wright Thompson's new book is called The Cost of These Dreams. It includes an essay about his father and Augusta National called Holy Ground. We'll have links to both at onlyagame.org.